Lord, we just come before you this morning, praising how great you are. Thank you so much for your mercy and your kindness. We pray for your blessing on this service and everybody here today. We pray for your blessing on Pastor Josh as he gives us your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning, River of Hope. Man, I tell you what, I've been so excited all week just for that song, because do you have the joy this morning?
Amen.
Man, you hear that? There ain't nothing going to steal our joy, because we are saved by the power of Christ, by the power of his blood. So let's just give God another round of applause this morning, because he's so amazing. We love him so much. If you are a guest with us this morning, I am so honored that you have chosen to come here and worship with us and learn more about God. Now, why don't you take a couple of minutes, go shake hands with someone that you haven't said good morning to this morning, and tell them how thankful you are that they came out here this morning to worship with us. So I just have a couple of quick announcements, and then we're going to finish up. Next Sunday, we will be having a baptism. So we believe in the baptism of believers. We believe when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, the next thing you should do, the next step, is make a public declaration of your faith by being baptized. We are going to combine this event with our first backyard barbecue at Lynette and Travis's, and I have a sign-up sheet here. Kaylee, do you want to come grab it? So if you're coming and you want to bring some food, please sign up. If you have not been baptized as a believer and are interested in doing so, please come talk with me. We have a great, great number of people already going to be baptized, and we're looking forward to a great time. Usually we go out to Sackett's Lake, but we've made an arrangement with the hotel in town, so we will be dunking people in the pool. So if you're like, yeah, I want to be baptized, but I really don't want to get dunked into a lake, it's a pool. So I'm not singling anybody out in particular, but, you know, you should really consider being baptized. This Saturday, May the 28th, men's group, we're going to meet at noon. We're going to have a horseshoe tournament. We're going to drink root beer, and we're going to grill food. The horseshoe pits will be done. Yes? Okay. Yes. We will have them done and ready to go. So men, I know you're not busy. I know you like to compete. I know you like to throw heavy things. I know you like to grill food. So we're going to cross all those things off our list all at once. And we're going to get together. Another thing I just want to plug, two things. A9Q is going to be having a free concert in Wausau. 10th Avenue North is going to be there. They are a great band. I highly recommend, it's completely free. Last year they had Danny Gokey come, and they packed the 400 block. The year before it was Francesca Ballastelli, they packed the 400 block. I say if you guys want to go enjoy great music for completely free, I highly recommend going. I would also recommend getting, it starts at 6, I would recommend getting your chair there by like 1 at the very latest. Just put your chair there and leave, because it's going to fill up very, very fast. And then the last thing I want to plug is A9Q is going to be having a golf tournament. A9Q is my favorite radio station. They play contemporary Christian hits. It really, really heats it. We're going to talk about that. This is all going to flow into my sermon today about what we take in, what we watch, what we take in. So if you're interested, I believe we have a foursome almost ready to go. One foursome ready to go. But if you want to just come and just watch me make a fool of myself trying to hit a golf ball, you're more than welcome to do that too, because this should be interesting. I've never golfed before, but I'm going to try this, because it's a big thing with the pastors and AOG, everybody golfs. So I need to learn how to do this so I can network with fellow pastors. So I have more information on the back table. With that being said, I just want to go back into a little bit more into worship. I want to talk about the joke Dwayne made, because that was a hilarious joke. So one thing about Pentecostals is we're what's called a hand-raising church. And last week we played a short little video I was about a comedian making jokes like, oh, here's the different ones. You know, my holding the TV. My fish is this big, you know. But sometimes when you get into worship and you're so overcome by the goodness of God, you just want to raise your hands up into the air to try to reach out to him and just show him how much you love him. If you feel led to do that, I guarantee you no one in this church is going to look at you and question that. And if you see people raising your hands, you're wondering why they're doing that, that's why we do that. I also want to say, if you feel led to dance, go ahead and dance. The Bible says David danced before the Lord because he was so happy. If you feel you need to come up here and kneel down, you're welcome to do that. There is no, in this church, there is no right way or wrong way to worship. As long as you are just going before God and just giving it all to him and telling him how beautiful and how great and how amazing he is. So with that said, we're going to go back into worship. You want to stand back up? If I didn't introduce myself, my name is Pastor Josh. I am the senior pastor here, and I am so great that each and every one of you are here. But more importantly, God is here with us today. So stand back up, and let's worship our King and our Creator. So we've been looking at board games the last few weeks, and every Christmas, without fail, my mom would buy us kids a new board game, and every Christmas, without fail, we would play that board game, and every Christmas, without fail, we'd get into a fight over that board game. Usually it was my sister's. One sister would read all the rules and then find a loophole in those rules and exploit it, and the other sister would get mad. So one of the games we played was a game called Outburst. Now, Outburst was a great game. You would divide into teams, and you would be given a topic, and then you had to see how many answers you could get in 1 minute underneath that topic. So we're actually going to play this real quick. All right, so the object of Outburst is you don't wait to be called on. You just start shouting out any answer you can think of. All right, so our topic is, now I got them written down here. I got all the answers written down. Commands you might teach your dog. So, can someone put 1 minute on the clock, please? Okay. All right. Let me know when we're ready. Okay, all right. All right, so commands you might teach your dog. If you think you have an answer, just start shouting it out. I'll start crossing them off as you get them. Ready? Go.
Heel.
All right. Sit, stay, heel, roll over, fetch, shake, play dead, high five, attack, lay down. We got a few more here. Roll over is called. What?
No.
Don't have that one on there. Don't have that one on. Don't have that one on. Speak. Yes.
Shake.
Shake was called. Don't have smile. Fetch was called.
No.
What was that?
Jump.
Yes.
Down.
Big. Yes.
Down.
Got that one. We're missing one.
Time.
Call time. The only one you're missing is wave. My sister taught her dog how to wave by. So you see, you understand how this game works. So you'd have two teams and people would just be shouting out answers. Now, Outburst as a game is a lot of fun. But as a Christian, outbursts are bad. We've been talking about as we build up, as we become better, better Christians, one of the things we have to take out is our uncontrolling tongue. So the two questions are this. Are you controlling your tongue, or are you being controlled by your tongue? And the other thing I called this today was, how can an outburst destroy your witness? How can 1 second of outburst destroy a lifetime witness? Chelsea, could you run into the kitchen? In the fridge, I have a little tiny thing of milk. So, as we go to our first slide, this is a gallon of milk. You can kind of see it there. I will assume most of you, we come from Wisconsin, so I hope most of you know where milk comes from, right? I mean, it doesn't just magically appear in a store. So the FDA just came down with a ruling that they cannot call almond milk milk anymore, or soy milk, or any of that milk. They have to change the name of it. I don't get it either. I'm sure the milk. But before it gets to your store, first it comes out of this animal here, and that's what they put on it. So they put on these milk machines. Unless you're Amish, then you do it by hand. At least, let me phrase that. If you're Amish around here, you have to milk by hand, but if you live down south, you can, yeah. And then it goes through these lines, and it goes into this bulk tank. Now, depending on the quality of the milk that goes in, your check gets bigger. And they pick it up less often. I confirmed all this with Romy. So what Romy would do, he decided to quit milking because there wasn't money in it. Because there's really not. So what he would do is he would make sure, so underneath the, can you go back, please? Thank you. So underneath the cow is what's known as their udder, and then from there is their teats. He would make sure he would clean that really well. The farmers would keep the lines really clean, and they would keep their milking, what do you call those things? The cups that go on. The milkers, they keep all that very, very clean because they want to make sure the milk going into the bulk tank is as clean as possible. Now, could they strain the milk coming out? They could, but what's easier? Is it easier controlling what goes into the tank or what comes out? What goes in is much easier to control than what goes out. And what we end up is this. This is a cute little thing. Jeb, come up here. So as you can see, this clearly says Nature's Touch, fat-free milk, so water. But seriously, you skim all the cream off. There's really nothing left. So clearly, what's inside of here is milk. Take a drink of that. What? You don't like the taste of that? What's wrong with it? So, now wait a minute. Now the outside looks like milk, right? Thanks, Jeff. You can go have a seat. The outside looks like milk, doesn't it? Now what would you expect to come out of here? Milk. There's nothing bad in it. I just put a whole bunch of salt into it. Yeah, because I put a whole bunch of salt into it. Because there is nothing worse when you go to take a drink of what looks like to be milk, but you find out it's not. All right? On the outside, if we're claiming to be Christian, the worst thing we can do is to then let our tongue show that we're not. On the outside, we all look like great Christians, but our words can destroy our witness. A lifetime of witnessing can be destroyed in one outburst where you decide to tell someone what you really think in a non-loving way. There's a way of telling people what they need to hear, but if you need to do it in a loving way. All right, so these are the questions we're going to answer today. The first one is, why is it so important that I control my tongue? The second question is, how can I control my tongue? How can I know I have control of my tongue? What are the results of my actions? And finally, am I building with an uncontrolled tongue? And will I take steps to control it? So our main text today comes from James. It says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord, our Father. With it, we curse human beings who have been made in the God's likeness. Of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." So, the first question, why is it so important to control our tongue? Well, the first point is, our tongue drives our whole body. My brother-in-law, Josh, I'm going to pick on him because I love picking on him because this is the one time I can get back at him for a week of being tortured, just recently bought a horse because he's stupid. No, he goes up to Idaho hunting, and when you go up to Idaho elk hunting, it really helps to have a horse to carry in stuff because it is a trek up the mountainside. But Josh decided the other day that he was going to go ride his horse. And Josh didn't realize before he got on the horse that the person who had her before him rode all out all the time. So he got on the horse. He got the horse walking. Well, the horse's walking was a trot. He got the horse to a gallop, and the horse took off like a shot. And Josh couldn't get that horse to stop. My grandfather, he's been with horses all the time. You put the bit, when you put the bit into their mouth, right? When you pull on it, it hurts them. So they turn into where it's pulling, you let it go. That's how they know to move. That's how a bit works. Think about it if you're out in a boat. Now, I won't bring up my experience with a boat with Kurt again, but let's just say it did not work well. When you have a really tiny boat and you put the boat in the lake and the waves are crashing into it, that's a good time to say, maybe this isn't a good idea. Needless to say, we didn't think that far through and swamped the boat. But so the whole boat, you imagine the size of the Titanic, right? You realize that that big, huge boat was controlled by just one tiny little rudder. While your tongue is tiny, it's going to drive your whole body. Like it or not, the world is going to judge you by the words you use. Is there anything worse than when you're on Facebook and someone's using just such improper English that you're just like, really? What really bugs me is there, there, and there. There are three different spellings of that word. Please get them right. Yes. So that is... But they are going to judge you on your words. And your words can do damage. Do you remember this saying when you were a kid? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but... How untrue is that? Yeah, let's tell kids that growing up. So then when they get crushed by someone's words and they come home crying, they feel they did something wrong because words can't hurt. What does the Bible say? Your words can start a whole forest fire. Right? Words can do a lot of damage. And here's the truth about words. Once you say it, you can never bring it back. Think about this. If you would go home, if you go buy a brand new tube of toothpaste and you would squeeze it all out onto the counter, that's really easy, isn't it? Okay, now take that toothpaste and put it back into the tube. Can you do that? Without cutting the tube open. Same way with words. You know, science actually believes that they believe that years from now, if they can develop the technology, that they could actually come back into this building and pull off all the words that have ever been said. They don't believe they actually go anywhere. Once you say something, it never comes back. And think about that. Think about a lifetime of being a witness for God. And then one day when you've had it with that person and you blow up at them and someone who only knows that you go to River of Hope and you are a Christian hears you cursing someone out, what are they going to think about you? How can you praise God and curse someone with the same mouth? Have you sure you heard this saying, you kiss your mother with that mouth? You kiss your, you know, you're talking dirty, someone say, you kiss your mother with that mouth? How about this? You praise God with that mouth? You are sitting here telling God how great he is and how wonderful he is, and we sing his praises, and then we leave here and we go curse someone out who God says, I created him in my likeness. How can you do that? Think about if you're going through a woods and you come across a spring of water. Right? Now, if it's fresh water, it's cool, refreshing, good to drink, right? Now, imagine if that's salt water. What good is that? Your words can be cool, refreshing water to someone who can, it can build them up, they can bring them joy, they can bring them comfort. Or they can be like salt water and tear them right back down. If you've ever been a teacher, you know this for a fact, that the right word at the right time can take a student and make them feel this big. But the wrong word, and you'll drive them back down. Some of you might say, you know, curse words only are curses because we put that on them, right? I can use this word because it just describes something in nature. Here's my question for you. If Jesus was standing before you, would you still use that word? Do you talk? And I'm guilty of this. I'm just going to just put this out there. I'm so guilty of this. I am trying so hard. Do you talk one way in front of people from church and another way when you're out in the world? Do you see the issue? If you feel you have to talk this way when you're around me or Paul or Jamie or Kaylee or Dwayne, but if you're out at a restaurant, you feel you can talk some way else, that's a big problem. You understand that what you're saying is wrong because you won't say it in front of these people, but you'll say it in front of these people. Called to be light and salt to the world. How can you be light and salt to the world when you can't control your tongue? Listen to this quote from R. Kent Hughes. The true test of a man's spirituality is not his ability to speak as we are apt to think. The true test of your spirituality is not how well you can speak. It's not if you can get up every Sunday morning and deliver a great sermon, which I one day hope to be able to do. This is where I'll say, oh, no, you're doing that already. But rather, your ability to bridle your tongue. It's not how well you can speak, how good you can pray, how much you can praise God. It's how, when push comes to shove, can you control your tongue? That's the true test of your... Do not let a moment of a misspoke word ruin an entire lifetime of witnessing. I guarantee you can happen. I know someone who said they would never go back to this church because one time they heard the pastor outside swearing. You see how powerful that is? You could completely ruin your witness because you can't control your tongue. I know sometimes it's so hard, man. I just need to tell them. I need to tell them. I need to tell them how it is. I need to tell them off. Do you know you can do that in love? You know, if John Doe up here suddenly went back to drinking and he's an alcoholic, what's the best way to approach it? Come up and yell at him, "Hey, quit drinking! What are you doing?" Or go up there in love and say, "Man, I see you falling back into it. I see you're struggling. You know what the Bible says about this? The Bible says not to get drunk. What can we do to help you?" When your boss starts yelling at you for something that's not your fault, you could stand up and yell back at them. But Proverbs says, a soft word turns away wrath. So when they're yelling at you and you're just so ready to just tell them where to, you could just say, "I really understand you're upset about this. But you do understand that this is beyond my realm of control. I will work harder to make sure it's adjusted in the future. But I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't yell at me for things that are not my fault." Then you could even say, "I don't mind if you yell at me if I screw up. When you come and yell at me for things that I didn't do, that's upsetting." So how can you control your tongue? Like the dairy farmers, we need to be careful what we're putting into our hearts. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings forth evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You want a great example of this? Google black. Does everybody know what a black box is in the airplane? So, when the pilot, everything the pilot says gets recorded in what they call the black box, which is actually bright orange. Doesn't make sense. But years ago, science looked into this and they found something really weird. 90% and go. You can find it. You can look it up. 90% of the airline accidents, right before the accident happens, the pilot is cursing or cursing God. And science said, this is really weird. If you are about to die, wouldn't you call out to God instead of curse him? So they did this big study, threw a bunch of money at it, and all they did was prove what the Bible already could have told you. They found out in moments of crisis, you don't think. You go right back to instinct. And whatever it is you always say, that's what comes out. There was a man in a horrible plane accident. A plane got cut in two, got doused in jet fuel, set on fire. There's a book called Terror at Tenerife. Read it. The first thing he said when that happened was, he said, "I cried out to Jesus. I stood up, and all the scripture I ever learned as a kid and learned my whole life was running through my head, and I came to the one where God said, 'You'll walk through the fire and not be burned.' And I walked out of that plane saying, 'God, I'm standing on your promises. The people in front of him, beside him, behind him were burned beyond recognition. He walked out of that plane with his clothes not even smelling of smoke. But the first thing he said when that happened was he cried out to Jesus. The very first thing. If you're taking in garbage, don't be surprised if garbage comes out. Right? I filled this full of salt. What was I expecting was going to come out? Pure milk? Years ago, back when I first got married to Lacey, we came across a TV show that we liked to watch together. The worst thing about this show was they used the F word a whole lot. And I thought, this doesn't affect me. You know, I can weed it out, right? We were two seasons into the show, and Lacey says to me, you've been swearing a lot more and using that word a lot more. I wasn't guarding what was going in. I had garbage going in, so why was I surprised when garbage came back out? Years ago, I did a paper route. This would require me to get up about 1 o'clock in the morning and drive to Wausau. And there was nothing on the radio at that time. So I started listening. On a whim, I am not a music guy, all right? I don't like listening to music. But there was nothing else on, so I started listening to 89Q. And so I would listen to it. I would get up at 1, I'd be home by 10 in the morning. So a long day, just constant, just playing 89Q. Here's the weird thing I found. I would wake up in the morning, not even realizing it, but singing God's praise. I found out my mood was changing. Because I watched what was going in and what started coming out was praises to God. Philippians 4:8 tells us this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Here's what it comes down to. If we think and put in these great things, we should not be surprised when great things come back out. It's that simple. If you are in the Word of God every day like you're supposed to be, if you are praying to God every day like you are supposed to be, if you are putting in good and praiseworthy things, half the battle is already won. So how can I know I have control of my tongue? We talked about the pilots. Here's a good test for you. What comes out when you are startled, when you're agitated, you are mad, or scared? All right? For those of you who do a lot of work with your hands, just example, not me. You know, you're working with a hammer, right? And you miss that nail and you smack your thumb. What are you saying at that point in time? Right? If someone scares you, and I tell you what, you want to be scared, come work at my office for just a day at Brute Force. There are people there whose main goal in life is to scare you. For like a week straight, every time I went to my mother-in-law's, they'd hide behind the door. And then they got the kids to do it. It got to the point where I had to open the door and back up. What happens when you're scared? What are you saying? If you are shutting out curses, something is wrong. You need to go back and look at what you're taking in. I'm not going to say you're going to hit your thumb and say, praise God. I'm just saying, I hope you're not, you know, then using his name in vain or cursing. You can hit your thumb and say, oh, that really hurts. Or my favorite, that was stupid. Shouldn't have put my hand there. Kurt, can I use you as an example again? Kurt, I love using Kurt because we swamped his boat and it looked like we were not getting that thing back out. Kurt was over there bailing as fast as he could. And it was like 2-1. For every bucket full he got out, the waves would put 2 more back in. And he was bailing for a half hour. You know what Kurt stood up and said to me? He didn't curse. He didn't yell. He just stood up, he looked at me and said, still beats being at work. How can you know if you have control of your tongue? What is your default setting? Right? When you switch it back to default, when you take everything off, what are you saying? So, what are the results of my actions? If our tongue is being controlled, we'll be in control of our entire body. That's what Scripture tells us, right? If you can control your tongue, you can control your entire body. There is nothing more evident of a person's spiritual walk and how close they are with God than if they can control their tongue or not. If we can control our tongue, we will minimize damage caused. In World War II, we dropped a whole lot of bombs on a whole lot of stuff. We went in and leveled cities. When we took the atom bomb over to Japan, we dropped it. We wiped out an entire city. All right? Our bombs nowadays are much more strategic. You can program them so they can attack military targets, and hopefully leave civilian targets alone. That's what we want to do when we control our tongue, is we can attack the targets that need to be attacked, we can refute Satan, we can, when we're witnessing to someone, we can, and when you're witnessing to someone and they're just really get up in your face, you won't cause damage by getting mad at them, but go back to Scripture with them and talk to them in love. We don't want to be an atomic bomb. We want to be a precise strike. If we can control our tongue, we'll keep our witness alive and viable. People want to know that you've changed. If you're going to go tell someone about what all God has done in your life, they're going to see that in action. Doesn't that make sense? If John Doe was up here saying, boy, God has changed my life. He's in control. I love God. You should love God. You should come to know Christ because he'll save you from your sins. And then he turns around and someone says something to him and he starts cursing them out. What are you going to think of him? God obviously hasn't changed him too much, right? He's just another one of those holy rollers. Is that the term people are given? Look at that, just another hypocrite. They're going to say it. Why should I have anything to do with their God when even they can't follow him? But if we can control our tongue, our witness will be viable and it will be alive. We're going to build with material that will last. Man, is there... Years ago, they had this show called Monster House. Does anybody remember the show? A couple people? Okay, so they would go in and They would retrofit these houses to be like, one was like a carnival theme. The one that just popped into my head, literally just popped into my head, was they were doing an underwater theme. And they had to weld all this stuff up. Right? And it was a group of contestants, and the one who was doing it welded it completely wrong. And one of the other contestants came and just tore it all back down. She's like, "What are you doing?" He goes, when the inspector came in, he would tear all this apart. We'd have to redo it anyway. One day, the refiner fire is going to come to what you're building on. The Bible is very clear. You will still be saved, but your structure will collapse. It's much easier to find the faults in us now and pull it out and rebuild with something stronger than to stand before God and have Him pull it out for us. If we're being controlled by our tongue, our whole body will be out of control. We can do untold damage, otherwise known as a forest fire effect. Last year, we went out to South Dakota. We went to Custer Park. Unbeknownst to us, most of Custer Park burned. Single spark. I'm not sure if that's what caused it, I'm just saying. But a single spark can burn down a whole forest. A single word can destroy your witness. If you can't control your tongue, your witness will die. Nobody's going to know what you're going to say because they know you haven't changed. There's a new fad on Facebook. It's health coaches. Seems like every other friend of mine is a health coach now. And that's great. People are taking back their lives and losing weight. I'm all for it. But man, you know what? If you are claiming to be a health coach, then you better be eating right and looking good. Because if you're claiming you're a health coach and you're still weighing, you're still gaining weight, I'm not going to listen to you. If I wanted to learn how to run, I'd go to Kathy or Ember, or even Jackie, because they're out running, right? Nobody's going to listen to your witness if you can't control your tongue. If you're being controlled by your tongue, you'll be building with material that'll just be burned away. When that inspector comes, He's going to pull that block out. And we saw just how important this building block is. This building block's holding up our entire structure. That building block comes out, man. Get ready for the collapse of everything. So our final question. Am I building with an uncontrolled tongue? Will I take steps to control it? There's no points to this one. This is a question only you can answer. This is a question only you can answer. But this is something you have to ask yourself seriously and honestly. When I go to my default setting, what is it? Will I talk one way in front of my friends and another way in front of my church family? I'm not saying you can't watch TV. I'm not saying you can't read interesting books. I'm not saying you have to spend your whole life listening to Christian music, right? What I'm saying is, I want to make this clear, in case I didn't make it clear earlier, is there needs to be a balance. Everything in moderation. If you're spending 3 hours reading a secular book, you should be spending 4 hours reading your Bible. If you're spending 3 hours listening to worldly music, 4 hours listening to Christian music. I'm not saying cut everything out. I'm saying make sure there's a balance and making sure you're taking in more that is praiseworthy, more that is good, than more that was bad. Unless you listen to country music, in which case, man, that's just... then you need to get your head examined, because, man, I try to listen to that stuff. They play it at the shop, and it's just like, oy. I have to go in my office, put my earbuds in. Yeah, I do. When I'm working in the office at Brute Force, I listen to Sasquatch stories and conspiracy theories, and I laugh, and I laugh, and I laugh. But seriously. We can have fun, we can joke around, and that's good. I hope you come here every Sunday, man. I can't wait to be here, because that's what I'm thinking, man. I count down to days to get here. I was like, is it Sunday yet? I'll get up Monday morning, especially Monday morning, because I got to go to Brute Force. I feel like, is it Sunday yet? What are you building up? Do you have an uncontrolled tongue? Will you take steps to control it? We're going to close in prayer here in just a minute. Dwayne, would you have time to come play? As always, when you feel God is done with you, you're dismissed to leave. If you want to stay in here and pray, you can. If you need extra prayer, anything big, anything small, you can come up here and we will anoint you with oil. We will pray over you.